pain shot through his broken leg, beneath the filthy grey plaster of his cast. He winced, his fingers opening and closing helplessly. "Is this your own scheme?" he gasped out at Varys. "Or are you in league with Littlefinger?" That seemed to amuse the eunuch.
"I would sooner wed the black goat of Cahor. Littlefinger is the second most devious man in the Seven Kingdoms. Oh, I feed him choice whispers, sufficient so that he thinks I am his. Just as I allow Cersei to believe that I am hers.
And just as you let me believe that you are mine. Tell me, Lord Varys, who do you truly serve?" Varys smiled thinly.
"Why, the realm, my good lord. However could you doubt that? I swear it by my lost manhood. I serve the realm, and the realm needs peace."
He finished the last swallow of wine and tossed the empty skin aside.
"So what is your answer, Lord Eddard? Give me your word that you'll tell the queen what she wants to hear when she comes calling."
"If I did, my word would be as hollow as an empty suit of armour. My life is not so precious to me as that."
"Pity," the eunuch stood. "And your daughter's life, my lord, how precious is that?"
A chill pierced Ned's heart.
"My daughter? Well, surely you did not think I'd forgotten about your sweet innocent, my lord. The queen most certainly has not."
"No," Ned pleaded, his voice cracking.
"Varys, gods have mercy, do as you like with me, but leave my daughter out of your schemes. Sansa's no more than a child."
"Rhaenys was a child too,
Prince Rhaegar's daughter, a precious little thing, younger than your girls. She had a small black kitten she called Balerion. Do you know? I always wondered what happened to him. Rhaenys liked to pretend he was the true Balerion, the black dread of old, but I imagine the Lannisters taught her the difference between a kitten and a dragon quick enough the day they broke down her door."
Varys gave a long, weary sigh, the sigh of a man who carried all the sadness of the world in a sack upon his shoulders.
"The High Septon once told me that as we sin, so do we suffer. If that's true, Lord Eddard, tell me, why is it always the innocents who suffer most when you High Lords play your Game of Thrones? Ponder it, if you would, while you wait upon the Queen, and spare a thought for this as well. The next visitor who calls on you could bring you bread and cheese and the milk of the poppy for your pain. Or he could bring you Sansa's head. The choice, my dear Lord Hend, is entirely yours."
Catelyn. As the host trooped down the causeway through the black bugs of the neck and spilled out into the riverlands beyond, Catelyn's apprehensions grew. She masked her fears behind a face kept still and stern, yet they were there, all the same, growing with every league they crossed. Her days were anxious, her nights restless, and every raven that flew overhead made her clench her teeth. She feared for her lord father, and wondered at his ominous silence. She feared for her brother Edmure, and prayed that the guards would watch over him if he must face the Kingslayer in battle. She feared for Ned, and her girls, and for the sweet sons she had left behind at Winterfell. And yet, there was nothing she could do for any of them. And so she made herself put all thought of them aside. "You must save your strength for Rob," she told herself. "He is the only one you can help. You must be as fierce and hard as the North, Catelyn Tully. You must be a Stark, for true now, like your son." Rob rode at the front of the column, beneath the flapping white banner of Winterfell. Each day he would ask one of his lords to join him, so they might confer as they marched. He honored every man in turn, showing no favorites, listening as his lord father had listened, weighing the words of one against the other. "He has learned so much from Ned," she thought, as she watched him. "But has he learned enough?" The Blackfish had taken 100 picked men and 100 swift horses and raced ahead to screen their movements and scout the way. The reports Sir Brynden's riders brought back did little to reassure her. Lord Tywin's host was still many days to the south, but Walder Frey, Lord of the Crossing, had assembled a force of near 4,000 men at his castles on the Green Fork. "Late again," Catelyn murmured when she heard it. It was the Trident all over. Damn the man! Her brother Edmure had called the banners. By rights, Lord Frey should have gone to join the Tully host at River Run, yet here he sat. 4,000 men, Rob repeated, more perplexed than angry. Lord Frey cannot hope to fight the Lannisters by himself. Surely he means to join his power to ours. Does he? Catelyn asked. She had ridden forward to join Rob and Robert Glover, his companion of the day. The vanguard spread out behind them, a slow-moving forest of lances and banners and spears. "I wonder. Expect nothing of Walder Frey, and you will never be surprised. He is your father's bannerman." "Some men take their oaths more seriously than others, Rob, and Lord Walder was always friendlier with Casterly Rock than my father would have liked. One of his sons is wed to Tywin Lannister's sister. That means little of itself, to be sure. Lord Walder has sired a great many children over the years, and they must needs marry someone. Still, do you think he means to betray us to the Lannisters, my lady?" Robert Glover asked gravely. Catelyn sighed. "If truth be told, I doubt even Lord Frey knows what Lord Frey intends to do. He has an old man's caution and a young man's ambition, and he has never lacked for cunning." "We must have the twins, mother," Rob said heatedly. "There is no other way across the river, you know that." "Yes, and so does Walder Frey, you can be sure of that." That night they made camp on the southern edge of the Bugs, halfway between the King's Road and the river. It was there Theon Greyjoy brought them further word from her uncle. "Sir Brynden says to tell you he's crossed swords with the Lannisters. There are a dozen scouts who won't be reporting back to Lord Tywin any time soon, or ever," he grinned. "Sir Adam Marbrand commands their outriders, and he's pulling back south, burning as he goes. He knows where we are, more or less, but the Blackfish vows he will not know when we split." "Unless Lord Frey tells him," Catelyn said sharply. "Theon, when you return to my uncle, tell him he is to place his best bowmen around the twins day and night, with orders to bring down any raven they see leaving the battlements. I want no birds bringing word of my son's movements to Lord Tywin." "Sir Brynden has seen to it already, my lady," Theon replied with a cocky smile. "A few more blackbirds, and we should have enough to bake a pie. I'll save you their feathers for a hat." She ought to have known that Brynden Blackfish would be well ahead of her. What have the Freys been doing while the Lannisters burn their fields and plunder their holdfasts? "There's been some fighting between Sir Adam's men and Lord Walder's," Theon answered. "Not a day's ride from here. We found two Lannister scouts feeding the crows, where the Freys had strung them up. Most of Lord Walder's strength remains massed at the twins, though." That bore Walder Frey's seal beyond a doubt, Catelyn thought bitterly, Hold back, wait, watch. Take no risks unless forced to. If he's been fighting the Lannisters, perhaps he does mean to hold his vows, Rob said. Catelyn was less encouraged. Defending his own lands is one thing, open battle against Lord Tywin quite another. Rob turned back to Theon Greyjoy. Has the Blackfish found any other way across the Green Fork? Theon shook his head. The river's running high and fast. Sir Brynden says it can't be forded. Not this far north. I must have that crossing, Rob declared, fuming. Oh, our horses might be able to swim the river, I suppose, but not with armored men on their backs. We'd need to build rafts to pole our steel across, helms and mail and lances, and we don't have the trees for that. Or the time. Lord Tywin is marching north. He balled his hands into a fist. Lord Frey would be a fool to try and bar our way, Theon Greyjoy said, with his customary easy confidence. We have 5 times his numbers. You can take the twins if you need to, Rob. Not easily, Catelyn warned them, and not in time. While you were mounting your siege, Tywin Lannister would bring up his host and assault you from the rear. Rob glanced from her to Greyjoy, searching for an answer, and finding none. For a moment he looked even younger than his 15 years, despite his mail and sword and the stubble on his cheeks. What will my lord father do? He asked her. Find a way across, she told him, whatever it took. The next morning it was Sir Brynden Tully himself who rode back to them. He had put aside the heavy plate and helm he'd worn as the Knight of the Gate for the lighter leather and mail of an outrider, but his obsidian fish still fastened his cloak. Her uncle's face was grave as he swung down off his horse. "There has been a battle under the walls of Riverrun," he said, his mouth grim. "We had it from a Lannister outrider we took captive. The Kingslayer has destroyed Edmure's host and sent the lords of the Trident reeling in flight." A cold hand clutched at Catelyn's heart. "And my brother?"
"Wounded and taken prisoner," Sir Brynden said. "Lord Blackwood and the other survivors are under siege inside Riverrun, surrounded by Jaime's host."
Rob looked fretful. "We must get across this accursed river if we'd have any hope of relieving them in time."
"That will not be easily done," her uncle cautioned. "Lord Frey has pulled his whole strength back inside his castles, and his gates are closed and barred."
"Damn the man," Rob swore. "If the old fool does not relent and let me cross, he'll leave me no choice but to storm his walls. I'll pull the twins down around his ears if I have to. We'll see how well he likes that."
"You sound like a sulky boy, Rob," Catelyn said sharply. "A child sees an obstacle, and his first thought is to run around it, or kick it down. A lord must learn that sometimes words can accomplish what swords cannot." Rob's neck reddened at the rebuke. "Tell me what you mean, mother," he said meekly. "The Freys have held the crossing for 600 years, and for 600 years they have never failed to extract their toll."
"What toll? What does he want?" She smiled.
"That is what we must discover."
"And what if I do not choose to pay this toll?"
"Then you had best retreat back to Moat Cailin, deploy to meet Lord Tywin in battle, or grow wings. I see no other choices." Catelyn put her heels to her horse and rode off, leaving her son to ponder her words. It would not do to make him feel as if his mother were usurping his place.
"Did you teach him wisdom as well as valor, Ned?" she wondered. "Did you teach him how to kneel?"
The graveyards of the 7 Kingdoms were full of brave men who had never learned that lesson. It was near midday when the vanguard came in sight of the twins, where the lords of the crossing had their seat. The Green Fork ran swift and deep here, but the Freys had spent it many centuries past, and grown rich off the coin men paid them to cross. Their bridge was a massive arch of smooth grey rock, wide enough for two wagons to pass abreast. The water tower rose from the centre of the span, commanding both road and river with its arrow slits, murder holes, and portcullises. It had taken the Freys three generations to complete their bridge. When they were done, they'd thrown up stout timber keeps on either bank, so no one might cross without their leave. The timber had long since given way to stone. The twins, two squat, ugly, formidable castles, identical in every respect, with a bridge arching between, had guarded the crossing for centuries. High curtain walls, deep moats, and heavy oak and iron gates protected the approaches. The bridge footings rose from within the stout inner keeps. There was a barbican and portcullis on either bank, and the water tower defended the span itself. One glance was sufficient to tell Catelyn that the castle would not be taken by storm. The battlements bristled with spears and swords and scorpions. There was an archer at every crenel and arrow slit. The drawbridge was up, the portcullis down, the gates closed and barred. The Great John began to curse and swear as soon as he saw what awaited them. Lord Rickard Carstark glowered in silence.
"That cannot be assaulted, my lords," Roose Bolton announced.
"Nor can we take it by siege, without an army on the far bank to invest the other castle," Helmand Tallheart said gloomily. Across the deep-running green waters, the western twin stood like a reflection of its eastern brother.
"Even if we had the time, which to be sure we do not."
As the northern lord studied the castle, a sally port opened. A plank bridge slid across the moat, and a dozen knights rode forth to confront them, led by four of Lord Walder's many sons. Their banner bore twin towers, dark blue, on a field of pale silver grey. Sir Stebron Frey, Lord Walder's heir, spoke for them. The Freys all looked like weasels. Sir Stebron, past 60, with grandchildren of his own, looked like an especially old and tired weasel. Yet he was polite enough.
"My lord father has sent me to greet you and inquire as to who leads this mighty host."
"I do." Rob spurred the horse forward. He was in his armour, with a direwolf shield of Winterfell strapped to his saddle and Grey Wind padding by his side. The old knight looked at her son with a faint flicker of amusement in his watery grey eyes, though his gelding wickered uneasily and sidled away from the direwolf.
"My lord father would be most honoured if you would share meat and mead with him in the castle and explain your purpose here."
His words crashed among the lord's bannermen like a great stone from a catapult. Not one of them approved. They cursed, argued, shouted down each other.
"You must not do this, my lord," Galbert Glover pleaded with Rob. "Lord Walder is not to be trusted."
Roos Bolton nodded.
"Go in there alone, and you're his. He can sell you to the Lannisters, throw you in a dungeon, or slit your throat, as he likes."
"If he wants to talk to us, let him open his gates, and we will all share his meat and mead," declared Sir Wendell Manderley. "Or let him come out and treat with Rob here, in plain sight of his men and ours," suggested his brother, Sir Willis.
Catelyn Stark shared all their doubts, but she had only to glance at Sir Stebron to see that he was not pleased by what he was hearing. A few more words, and the chance would be lost. She had to act, and quickly.
"I will go," she said loudly. "You, my lady?" The Great John furrowed his brow.
"Mother, are you certain?" Clearly Rob was not.
"Nevermore," Catelyn lied glibly.
"Lord Walder is my father's bannerman. I've known him since I was a girl. He would never offer me any harm."
"Unless he saw some profit in it," she added silently, but some truths did not bear saying, and some lies were necessary.
I am certain my lord father would be pleased to speak to Lady Catelyn, Sir Stevron said. To vouchsafe for our good intentions, my brother Sir Perwin will remain here until she is safely returned to you.
He shall be our honoured guest, said Rob. Sir Perwin, the youngest of the four Freys in the party, dismounted and handed the reins of his horse to a brother.
I require my lady mother's return by evenfall, Sir Severn, Rob went on. It is not my intent to linger here long.
Sir Severn Frey gave a polite nod.
As you say, my lord.
Catelyn spurred her horse forward and did not look back. Lord Walder's sons and envoys fell in around her. Her father had once said of Walder Frey that he was the only lord in the Seven Kingdoms who could field an army out of his breeches. When the Lord of the Crossing welcomed Catelyn into the great hall of the East Castle, surrounded by 20 living sons, minus Sir Perwin, who would have made 21, 36 grandsons, 19 great-grandsons, and numerous daughters, granddaughters, bastards, and grandbastards, she understood just what he had meant. Lord Walder was 90, a wizened pink weasel with a bald, spotted head, too gouty to stand unassisted. His newest wife, a pale, frail girl of 16 years, walked beside his litter while they carried him in. She was the 8th Lady Frey.
It is a great pleasure to see you again after so many years, my lord, Catelyn said. The old man squinted at her suspiciously. Is it? I doubt that. Spare me your sweet words, Lady Catelyn. I'm too old. Why are you here? Is your boy too proud to come before me himself? What am I to do with you?
Catelyn had been a girl the last time she had visited the twins, but even then Lord Walder had been irascible, sharp of tongue, and blunt of manner. Age had made him worse than ever, it would seem. She would need to choose her words with care, and do her best to take no offence from his.
Father, Sir Stevron said reproachfully, you forget yourself. Lady Stark is here at your invitation. Can I ask you? You're not Lord Frey yet. Not until I die. Do I look dead? I'll hear no instruction from you.
This is no way to speak in front of our noble guest, Father, one of his younger sons said.
Now, my bastards, presume to teach me courtesy,
Lord Walder complained.
I'll speak any way I like, damn you. I've had 3 kings to guest in my life. And queens as well. Do you think I'd require lessons from the likes of you, Ryger? Your mother was milking goats the first time I gave her my seat.
He dismissed the red-faced youth with a flick of his fingers and gestured to 2 of his other sons.
Danwell, Waylon, help me to my chair.
They shifted Lord Walder from his litter and carried him to the high seat of the Freys, a tall chair of black oak, whose back was carved in the shape of 2 towers linked by a bridge. His young wife crept up timidly and covered his legs with a blanket. When he was settled, the old man beckoned Catelyn forward and planted a papery dry kiss on her hand.
There, he announced. Now that I have observed the courtesies, my lady, perhaps my sons will do me the honour of shutting their mouths. Why are you here?
To ask you to open your gates, my lord, Catelyn replied politely. My son and his lord's bannermen are most anxious to cross the river and be on their way.
To River Run?
He sniggered.
Oh, no need to tell me, no need. I'm not blind yet. The old man can still read a map.
To River Run, Catelyn confirmed. She saw no reason to deny it. Where I might have expected to find you, my lord. You are still my father's bannerman, are you not?
Yes,
said Lord Walder, a noise halfway between a laugh and a grunt.
I called my swords, yes, I did. Here they are. You saw them on the walls. It was my intent to march as soon as all my strength was assembled. Well, to send my sons. I'm well past marching myself, Lady Catelyn.